The Brad Sesmatt Show, broadcasting live.
Thanks for being with us. We will have Jody Jackson today with the trade deadline closing in on the Diamondbacks and Major League Baseball. Jody and I are going to chop it up on that, plus more injuries out of the Cardinals camp. She has been out there as well, as we bring Jody to you every Monday. We appreciate Jody Jackson being on board. Opening comments are brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, taking care of you, taking care of your business. As always and through the years, that's Desert Financial Credit Union. We do appreciate their support. Deion Sanders is holding a press conference after we are off the air. It is being reported widely that it is involving blood clots and that he may no longer be the coach at Colorado. The belief that I have heard is, if you're an Arizona State fan, that Colorado in late November, November 22nd, is going to be not as difficult a game as some of the others. Like, there's this feeling that all of the stuff, all of the buildup at Colorado is slowly doing this. And so with that as the backdrop, I will be interested to hear what goes on today. We do a ton around college football. Tomorrow I'll be in Tucson with Jordan Hamm. We'll be with the University of Arizona football program and Brent Brennan. I'm talking with players there, talking with coaches, administrators, partners, all that stuff will be in Tucson. That'll be tomorrow as we continue to grow sports360az.com. We've been on doing this now for 15 years. 15. Our chairman of the board is Jared Nielsen. If anything goes wrong with today's show, it is completely his fault. There you go. The trade deadline. So I'm going to get into some of this with Jody, but I do think it's important to go down this path a little bit. I am fine with dealing spare parts like Josh Naylor and Randall Grichuk. That may sound harsh, but defensively, Naylor wasn't all that. Not bad-mouthing him out the door. It's just he wasn't Christian Walker, nor was he thought to be. Did a nice job while he was here. He's going to do a great job in Seattle. They had young arms. Randall Grichuk, they have a surplus of outfielders that have just kind of been here. And at some point, they're going to need to be given that opportunity, if they're true big leaguers, to be everyday guys. You know, I mean, if I see Jake McCarthy and how he does bring some things to the team, but his average has really scuffled. They've sent him down. They brought him back up. If I hear that Lourdes Gurriel Jr., is playing and taking some balls rather over at first base, as was reported on the television broadcast yesterday, I find that to be interesting. Looked at all these parts. Gino Suarez played first base the other night. They were late in the game. It was the extra inning game. They had gone through their bench. They were down a player because of the Grichuk trade, and Gino gets moved over to first base. That's interesting to me. Because if you decide you're going to keep him, and my argument is if Mike Hazen does nothing, and unfortunately, some of you are going to be turned off by this, but it's just the way it works in our business. But I think if you hear me out, you may have a favorite player on this team. Outside of Corbin Carroll and Perdomo and Marte, I don't think there's really anybody untouchable. I'd even dare say Gabby Moreno, with some of the injuries and how they've been able to get by a catcher, doesn't mean they're perfect. And yeah, he's very good. But if you're looking at a full reset, you could turn this thing way upside down here in the next 3 days. Way upside down. Beyond Merrill Kelly and Zach Gallen and Gino Suarez. You know, Shelby Miller's name has been thrown around. Shelby Miller was off the scrap heap. They brought him in. Look at what's happened. He's going to find himself with maybe a contending team. When you look at next year and all the injuries that they already have going into next season, players that aren't going to be ready to go at the start of the year. You don't want a team that is non-competitive. I think they can be a team that's competitive. Look at it this way. Brandon Pfaadt, Ryan Nelson, right now they're 3-4 in the rotation. Eduardo Rodriguez is throwing tonight in Detroit. If Eduardo Rodriguez is still here, I'm fine with it. I'm not upset, but I wouldn't be upset if he were traded either. So you go down the list and say, okay, let's just say those three are here for next season and Merrill Kelly gets traded and then signs back as a free agent, which all sounds great because he has a house being built here. But if somebody says, yeah, here's 10 million more to come play for us, you got to take it. My point is you don't want it to be a team that is just the Colorado Rockies one day. That's probably a poor example, or the Chicago White Sox, or the Pittsburgh Pirates, where they have Paul Skenes and who else. You want a team that every year is going to be in that 80, 90 plus win column. And that represents themselves the right way with a good group of dudes, good group of players you can rally around. And yeah, you also may look at it, this is going to involve Bryce Harper here in a second. You may also look at it and say, you've got to look ahead and where the game is going to be. Bryce Harper and Rob Manfred reportedly got nose to nose in the middle of the Phillies locker room. Manfred, the commissioner of the league, went in to talk to the team about what is going to happen behind the scenes and be front and center in terms of labor unrest. Labor unrest is coming to Major League Baseball. And there'll be those that'll just turn their attention to something else. And then there'll be diehards like me with baseball and say, it's part of the deal, it's part of the drill. Bryce Harper told the commissioner to his face in the middle of all of his team, get the F out of our locker room, locker room. Yeah. Get the F out of our locker room. So labor unrest, because the commissioner wants a salary cap. He's going to try to find a way to put a salary cap in place. Bryce Harper's like, no, it's not happening. So labor unrest means, okay, what if we don't have a team? What if we don't have a season in 2027? What do we do with these contracts? And so you want to, I've always said owning a professional sports franchise is a public trust. And I've seen lots of bad owners, and there's more bad owners than good owners. I happen to think Ken Kendrick's a pretty good owner. He's not perfect, but nobody is. Jerry wasn't perfect. Close to it, but it wasn't perfect. And so if it's dumping the entire roster out and putting out a triple A team on the field, I'm not about that. I'm actually a little disappointed in some of the position players they've taken high in the draft here the last few years because they haven't produced. They haven't produced yet. And that's fact. So let's see what happens. Zach Gallen's got to go. Zach Gallen just doesn't look like the same guy. If it's all the pressure, everybody handles pressure differently. Zach's got to go and get young arms back. Merrill Kelly, I'm on the fence on. If you really believe that he's going to be here, why not just give him the extension now? Let's cut through the nonsense. Suarez, I can make the argument either way. I prefer to trade him, get some assets back, because I think he probably is at his height, unless you feel like he could play some first base or he could be a DH for you, high-paid DH. Over at Cardinals camp, they lose Star Thomas, knee injury. They've had both their starting corners go down with injuries. And it's a war of attrition. The NFL is a war of attrition. And so talk all you want about Kyler Murray and Marvin Harrison Jr. You better talk about them being able to score 30 plus points a game. Because I don't see where this defense, you can talk all day long about Calais Campbell's now part of the team and Josh Sweat and all that. It's 17 games of car crashes. So for them to navigate through and make it without being nicked up, I just don't see it happening. Other than that, that's pretty much it. We're in the middle of summer. It's the start of the fake football season in the NFL. Nothing like preseason games to whet your appetite with guys that are not going to be on the roster in all likelihood during the season. We're going to find that one guy that could break through, and then they cut him the last week. There's that. Next week, we will be up at Camp Tonizona. That's where Arizona State football is going to be next week. And before you know it, we will have college football season underway and high school as well. A lot of content over on the site. Jody Jackson is next. I'm Brad Sussmat. There is no countdown clock on Jody Jackson for the trade deadline. There is maybe a countdown clock on Jody playing sideline reporter and talking about injuries with the Cardinals. We have a lot to get to. Jody Jackson is always brought to you by Shamrock Farms. Shamrock Farms and Rock and Refuel, we do appreciate their support of bringing Jody into your households every week. All right, You want to go with the Cardinals and injuries in the corners? Do you want to go with deadline? What's in your wheelhouse to start the day?
Let's go with deadline because while there is a lot going on out at Cardinals camp and with myself, not being on this current D-backs trip, I feel like obviously I've been out there, but let's start with trade deadline because that is most pressing right now for the, I feel like for the future of the Diamondbacks.
I agree with you about the future. Like people in the present, we talked last week about the trade deadline being early and fixing that. But I guess as you have to look at what the general manager has to do. If the general manager, Jody, does nothing, then that's not good in what is going on this season.
That's right.
If the fans want it, we just want to keep all of our players here. Like I think the two moves they've made so far have been pretty smart. Nothing personal against the guys leaving. It's just they needed arms, right? So
Yes. Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head. Yeah.
the big three are waiting to. It could even be four. I've read and heard Shelby Miller's name thrown around now too. So.
In talking to Mike Hazen on a conference call that he had the other day, shortly after the trade of Josh Naylor, anything's on the table right now. They're understanding. And if you think about it, I think right now a lot of teams are questioning, are we going to be sellers? Because the market's pretty good. I mean, we all love, let's take Randall Grichuk, for example. Okay. So we love what Randall's done here the last couple of years. We know he played mostly against left-handed pitching. He could play the outfield. Hopefully he'll get an opportunity to play more. I know he wanted that. But for Randall Grichuk, who was not in your plans for next year, most likely, you got an arm that you can see in your bullpen. You're getting major league ready talent. Now, Andrew Hoffman is a guy with just a couple appearances. Brandon Garcia as well. I mean, but Brandon Garcia pitched in Pittsburgh, loved what I saw. This guy immediately upgrades. And it's hard to say that because we haven't seen a whole track record of Brandon Garcia, but the stuff to me is an upgrade. And you're getting that for, you're getting players that can come in and help you, major league ready, for guys that were probably not going to be part of your plan. And clearly that's something, if the Diamondbacks had thought that they were, maybe it would have been different, but they're also free agents. So they could be part, technically they could be part of your plan. I don't necessarily see that happening, but, and oh, by the way, you saved a little bit of money along the way, which can help you for next year. So I think, look, this team's still trying to win now. We know it didn't go well in Pittsburgh at all. I mean, offensively, the one area that has been really good went away, and that's how baseball is. When you hit good pitching, baseball is that way. So it looks really bad and it feels really bad right now, especially when you've got guys that you love that are part of your team that are leaving the team. It's a really hard time. But this team, I think, will, after the deadline, I know that's still coming up. You got a whole series against Detroit, but I think they're going to regroup and then we can see what we see. But right now, no one can sugarcoat it. It's a hard time when people are leaving, but you have to get arms and potentially players. There may be some position players involved, Brad, that can help you down the line. And that is, you're right, that is the duty of the general manager.
Yeah, if he does nothing and he doesn't take some arrows from fans saying, well, Randall Grichuk was my favorite or this or that, he's not doing it. Okay, I want to put you in the spot where Todd was. So have you been down in the dugout through your years with the Diamondbacks as the trade deadline approaches when a deal happens in the middle of a game and a player gets pulled off and they all hug and say goodbye during the game? I'm asking this from this standpoint. I thought Suarez didn't even look like he was in the same universe after that happened. Like he was just all over the place, hurt, wondering if he's the one that's next. I believe I'm playing psychologist from 3,000 miles away. Have you been in that space before, and have you seen it impact a team?
Not with a high profile, not with that situation. Gosh, I think I remember years ago being at a home game where I wasn't like down by the dugout. I was doing a feature. I was there covering the team, and I remember a guy leaving, and I honestly can't even tell you who it was, but it was Todd was actually there when Zach Greinke left. That was a huge trade. Remember that? Greinke with the Astros. So, that is something that he's been in the line of fire on a couple of big ones there. And when it does happen in the middle of a game, it is just really an emotional reaction. And it's tough. And it's tough to cover those games because then after the game, you're asking questions about the game, but it all seems sort of pointless because, one of the guys that was part of the team just left. And And that's the thing that you're right. I mean, Gino's got a lot swirling in his head about where's he going to go. And anytime you take these guys, and we use the term kind of band of brothers, but when you're with each other for that long, and it goes back for some of them to last year, and you're in the clubhouse together, spring training, and you're fighting together every day, and the families are friends, and many times that's the case. It's a very tight group. It's really hard when somebody leaves. So it's not, it's definitely for Todd, it's an unenviable situation to be in at covering a game like that, because while there's news happening, and news is always part of the deal, right? And that's what we are, we're reporters. But it's you can sense for the guys that it's a letdown. It's that realization that you haven't done your job for the first 4 months, well enough to be in a spot to keep going with your group. And they even had a meeting about that earlier. I kind of got wind of that. I think it was in June, guys, and even after Corbin Burns was hurt, it was kind of after Corbin Burns was hurt, and like, we want to stay together. We want to try to find a way to stay in this thing. And they hadn't built enough equity to now go through a little bit of a run where they're going, where they're slacking, or I shouldn't say slacking off, but where they're slumping. And if you build what they built, in 23, they got off to the hot start. They went through a 9-game losing streak, and they were still able to go to the World Series, which is really, with 84 wins. But you can't do, now they haven't built any of that. They were never high enough over, they were never 9 or 10 games over 500 this year. And that just, it doesn't build you any room for error.
I love your passion towards this, because I can tell that you're totally into it. So I'm just letting you go. There's some moments that have happened, because I watched all three games in Pittsburgh, and they're just little things that to me are, well, that's kind of interesting. Gino Suarez being moved over to first base because they were running out of players. Gurriel taking ground balls at first base is referred to by Tom Candiotti. Some interesting things that are like, let's just say that Gino doesn't get traded. Where does Gino go with his position? Because, yeah, he makes some good plays defensively, but there's a knock on him that he's aging and all that stuff. If he stays here, we got a little bit into this last week. I guess what I'm wondering is, after the deadline, if he is still here, could you see he, Gurriel, playing some different positions?
It is interesting. I think so, because right now, by trading Josh Naylor, what you've done is you created a hole there, and Pavin Smith, as we all know, is on the IL. So when Pavin comes back, he's a guy that'll take some of the reps there. But, again, I don't know, Pavin's never been that everyday guy. So that leaves you with those options of Gino Suarez, Lourdes Gurriel Jr., James McCann, if you have to. And I think that's the thing about first base that we're left with, once again, is who's the future over there? Because when Christian Walker, we kind of thought that the D-backs weren't going to go ahead and re-sign Christian for that, multi-year deal that he got with Houston. And you thought, well, who's going to be the first baseman? And then they made a trade for Josh Naylor. So I guarantee there is a solution out there, but we, certainly they're limited for this season. But that's another thing we may see. Do we see a trade for somebody that is, in essence, a stopgap or a short-term thing like Josh Bell last year? We all know this team was trying to get to the World Series last year, and Christian Walker was hurt, so they went out and they got Josh Bell. Josh Bell came in and gave him an immediate lift. So, could we see just something, some kind of move where we see someone come over that's a veteran? I will say this, I mean, it's tough if you trade Gino and one of the pitchers, let's say, and Naylor, who was a young guy, but a veteran presence is not a bad idea too in this. Someone that you're not buying, but you're bringing someone in that can just, that is maybe inexpensive, but can play first and maybe is a veteran. So who knows? I mean, I think anything's on the table right now, because you don't necessarily have somebody in the minors that is, people talk about Adrian Del Castillo playing first, but that's not something that, they're looking at. They're still, I mean, yes, he's taking ground balls over there. I witnessed it at Chase Field. I think right now all bets are off. Anyone that can play okay over there maybe gets that shot. But, Adrian's still being looked at as a catcher for now. So I think that's a big question mark for sure.
Yeah, I guess the versatility it could provide you if Gino stays. There's also this, and I know the announcers have referred to it. I've heard it from behind the scenes. You've heard it as well. Merrill Kelly's building a house here in Phoenix. He doesn't want to go anywhere, but he gets it. He could go somewhere and chase a World Series for 6, 7 weeks. He can come back here, sign as a free agent. Everybody lives happily ever after. That sounds plausible to me until somebody comes along and says, well, here's $10 million more a year. And oh, by the way, that house you could sell. Okay. So
Yeah.
Zach Gallen's got to go. This isn't anything personal. It's just, okay, his time has run out here in Phoenix. That's where I'm at. In the next 4 days, if I still see Zach Gallen on this roster, I would be wondering what exactly is the general manager doing? Because maybe it is a change of scenery and he gets on the mound, he's in a pennant race. But he's not the same dude. It doesn't matter who explains what to me. Lack of fastball, lack of going in on him. He's just not the same, Jody.
Well, how do? Well, that's the thing, though. You're saying trade him, but then what's the value? And are you saying just get any value? Because
Any
again,
value, yeah.
pitched okay his last outing, but nothing. His last outing before this deadline, was not like wowing everyone around. Obviously, he's going up against Skeens. It's a pretty small margin for error, but I think that's the trouble right now. And overall for Zach, if you look at it, let's just look at Zach from a personal standpoint. He didn't want this. This is costing him money, I'm sure. Obviously, if he had had an amazing year, or even a year like, the last one of the last 2 years, last year he was fighting some things, but at the end of the day, it was a pretty decent year. He's solid footing on where what he's going to get money wise. And you're right. I think maybe it is change of scenery. I'm not sure why. I don't think he's unhappy here. His fiance is from the state of Arizona here. I believe she's from Tucson, but people don't view him as like he's an Arizona guy. So again, I don't know what the future holds for Zach, but I know if they could move him and get an asset, they will. I think that makes a lot of sense. As for Merrill, you're right. They have a house. They built the house. Two kids, little kids. It kind of is similar to the Corbin Burns thing, right? Where, and there's no guarantee that teams are going to be like, oh, well, you live here, so of course we're going to pay you and make it work. It would have to work. But if you're Merrill, I think it is the same thing as Corbin, where Corbin Burns was offered $240 million or whatever from San Francisco. He took 210 to stay here in the Valley. Now, if you're Merrill, again, this is Merrill's first chance to really get that, maybe, well, I shouldn't say that. He signed a 2-year deal for $18 million that he's under right now. So he has had a payday. What can the next payday hold? But he's got to factor that in. Is it nice to be at home for spring training? Is it nice to be at home for, and half the teams are here in Arizona? But there is that factor of quality of life that I think is very important to Merrill too. So, all bets are off again. I think as a player, you have to weigh both sides, the money, and you have to feel like you're getting a fair deal, I think, no matter where you live.
I think if it is, I believe that if you trade all three, there still is, and we saw this a few years back when, okay, they cleaned house and yet they still made a great run. And everybody's hanging on to that. Fine. If you trade Merrill and you trade Zach, your number one starter is Eduardo Rodriguez, Brandon Pfaadt. Brandon Pfaadt, they paid a ton of money to, and he's a young arm who has been very good at times and other times, not so great this year. Eduardo Rodriguez, I would myself trade him, but he has come around some. I could make the argument of, okay, I've got to move him 60-40. If those are the two big guns atop your rotation, Ryan Nelson's been the story this year. Like they've found someone there that he's a three, Jody,
Yeah.
opinion. So if you can clean up the bullpen, what I'm getting at is I'm still not going to sit here and say they wave the white flag when they're six out of the wild card. There's no way to do that because if you look at September, they're going to have games against the teams in front of them. Doesn't matter how it lays out right now in late July. So I don't believe this is gassing the season. Now, they turn around and just dump the farm system out. If they figured out, you know what, we've had these high picks and they haven't done much, which is true. They haven't done much. So that's when.
Yeah, I think so. A couple things there. I think number one, I'll address the rotation. Eduardo's been up and down. I think we've seen the key with him seems to be when he's on more rest, he's very good. That fastball has more life, more velocity. Everything works well. His location's usually pretty good. But it's not feasible to continually have, these long layoffs and like recalibrate yourself after the All-Star break. He had 12 days off and then he comes out throwing 95. mean, that you do have to go out there every 5 or 6 days. Brandon Pfaadt is interesting that you say that. I really feel like, and he's had to turn a corner. This would be maybe for me the second time he's turned a corner. Because he looked really good last year with that sweeper. Now he's added this cutter and he has become so much better, more effective. So I think he's turned a bit of a corner from those earlier games where he was getting hit. And then Ryan Nelson's been very solid. So again, and quickly for next year, you know, if you have those three, Eduardo, Ryan, and Brandon Pfaadt, not in that order necessarily. I mean, I think right now, like coming out of the All-Star break, they picked Brandon Pfaadt and Ryan Nelson to come out of there. So that tells you something about how they feel about those guys. And it also had to do with they were rested, they were ready to go, they were staying in town, things like that. The other thing then, if you do re-sign Merrill, I think you're in a pretty good spot there with those four, but you need to add because Corbin Burns is not coming back till after the All-Star break next year. So you need someone that you can really bank on to give you innings and to be solid. So, and then they're building the bullpen. We see that. As for those team, you know, running out there for 50 plus games here, you're right. And I think they will, like, people will just say to me, "Oh, Jody, whatever, there you go, being ultra positive again." They're in a rough stretch right now, but I guarantee you, when they hit some of these teams and some of these, they're gonna go on this little mini run. But where do they land? I don't know. Is it gonna be 2 games out of a spot? It's gonna be tough to get into the spot. But will it be better baseball than we're seeing right now? I guarantee you it will. I think right now this team is reeling a little bit from a number of things that started during that Astro series, the trade deadline. I think when they come back out of it, they're going to hit the homestand against the Padres. That will be a real telltale sign of me of where is this team mentally and where can this team put out some really good baseball for the last month? Because when you're a fan coming to the game, and we all know that's what people have seen for over 2 years. And if that changes, it's real trouble. We know, you know, contending is one thing, but you want to play good baseball. And I do expect that.
I do too. I think it would be an indictment of Torrey, and I don't see that. I am one of those that supports Torrey. I'm not the, you got to keep, you know, pounding on him for decisions. That is just part of baseball. I don't love everything he does, but I've never met a manager or coach that I've loved everything they do. All right.
Well, now people are kind of pounding on him for how encouraging he is and how coddling, so to speak, he is of this team. But here's the thing: when this team has gone through rough patches before, the way that he's handled it has pulled them out of nosedives. So I'm a little bit slow to criticize that because I've seen it. I've seen him pull them out of stuff before with that same mentality. And it just kills me with the defense. When the defense is not going well, look, we saw the Yankees last year. Their defense was horrible. It showed up in the World Series. Did they fire Aaron Boone? No. So, you know, again, it just, I feel like that is something out there with the fan base that really is unfair. And I can't change people's minds, but I'm telling you, consistency means something. And,
Gotta
you
blame
know,
Jody. You gotta blame somebody. Every year, the
yeah.
base coach needs to get fired. He just doesn't know what he's doing. I've heard this for.
Well, that,
All right, let me get over to the Cardinals
yeah.
before I get you out of here. So both starting corners gone. It's not the end of the world. It's just this is the sport of attrition, and the teams that are able to stay away from the injuries throughout the season are the ones that usually make it. Yes, there's a lot of talent that goes into it. But this again feels to me like they've got to go out and win 35-31. And we're only in July, and it feels like that's.
Well, you know, it really depends if guys are going to surprise. You know, is Will Johnson going to surprise? I mean, I think we feel good about Garrett Williams and Max Melton. So those are the three. Those are the three that you now are in a spot where, okay, before you're like, we have depth. And now those guys have to stay healthy and they have to be effective. Garrett Williams, Max Melton, you know, Will Johnson, who's coming in as a rookie, but I think everyone feels really good about his talent. And then Ketrell Clark is a guy that Jonathan Gannon mentioned yesterday that he's pleased with where he's been coming along. We've seen him come in and be up and down the last couple of years. But yeah, it's tough. And, you know, but Sean Murphy Bunting, you know, for me, he's a guy that while he was your starter there, I think you could improve the play there with him out. And I feel horrible for these guys as people that they're out for the season. Star Thomas was one of my favorites, kind of that underdog mentality. And now he's out with an injury that's going to keep him out the entire season. So it hurts. It stinks. And the corner depth is going to be tested for sure, but I don't think all is lost. The other one is Walter Nolan not being able to be out there with a calf injury. You know, I have to, it's so, you know, rough to see another calf because you don't know what that means. I mean, look what it meant for Darius Robinson last year. So it's very difficult when you see guys trying to come back from these injuries and it seems to linger. So hopefully that one, you know, I don't know the severity of that one. I don't think it was really compared to Darius. I think it was said that it was a little bit different, but hopefully Walter Nolan, you know, can be out there this season for the Cardinals. If sometime in the first half of the season, you would hope, and maybe it'll be sooner. I'm not sure.
Because people are, well, they've added Calais Campbell and they've added, yes, they have. Those dudes have had some miles put on them. To think that they're going to make it unscathed through an entire season, to think that James Conner's not going to get a little bit banged up and bruised up during the course of a long season. That's why I'm always on the player. This is a bigger rant on my part, but it's why when they say, well, just keep adding games for these guys, or we'll take away a preseason game and add a regular season game. It's car crashes. Those games are car crashes. And to think that a player can just hold up, a veteran player, it's great to have Calais Campbell here. It's great. But to think, okay, he's going to make it 17 unscathed, I've just seen it long enough to know that the veteran guys, they got to find their ways through. I had veteran guys that would tell me when I was in locker rooms, Brad, I'm just trying to make it to Thanksgiving to be in my best space for the stretch run.
Yeah, and Calais has said, you know, I'm like a 30, 35 snap guy, and everybody knows that. That's what he's laid it out. He's at his best when, you know, if you're playing on defense, what is it? Somewhere between 60 to, depending on where the game goes, the less the better, I suppose you could say, right? But if you're out there, if 60, 70 snaps in a game, he's going to be 30, 35. So, and that's what he's said, and everybody knows that. So it's a matter of, but yes, even though it's 30 snaps, it's still a lot of contact, a lot of car crashes, as you said. I was laughing though because you know Calais is, you don't have even have to look at the number. You know who Calais Campbell is out there. It was cool to see him back out there. You know, a lot of great memories. Veteran in the room with guys like 17 years younger than him, which is just wild with the rookies out there. So, but yeah, Dalvin Tomlinson, seeing him out there, seeing LJ Collier healthy. You know, this has just been an area where they've been banged up really, really hard the last 2 years. Under Gannon, who's, you know, we all know JG, Nick Rowless, they have a good plan for this defense, but they've never had a healthy D line. So we'll see what happens. Hopefully no more injuries in that area because by this time, I think I want to say the first 2 seasons, boy, they got through like the first week of training camp and it felt like two or three guys were on the IL. So hopefully that doesn't happen again.
Focus is going to be on Darius Robinson. Darius Robinson is not going to have much in my space because he was hurt last year. You're not going to have time to say, well, it's only my second season. I've got to figure this out. I know that that is true. It's only his second season. He needs to figure it out. But hey, you're a first round pick. You were hurt. This is how it goes in the NFL. So that's.
Physically, he looks great. He looks like a beast. That's what we saw. And then I think when he played last year, it was moving a little fast for him. So you're right. Now it's go time, right, for a guy like Darius Robinson.
All right, get out of here. Have a good week. Appreciate you as always.
A
Thanks.
lot going on, Brad, and we love it though.
That's it. Jody Jackson brought to you by Shamrock Farms Rock and Refuel. And we're back with more after this timeout.